The Old Man and the Gun. The Secrets of a Legendary Stick-Up Man. Just before Forrest Tucker turned 79, he went to work for the last time. Although he was still a striking-looking man, with intense blue eyes and swept-back white hair, he had a growing list of ailments, including high blood pressure and burning ulcers. He had already had a quadruple bypass, and his wife encouraged him to settle into their home in Pompano Beach, Florida, a peach-colored house on the edge of a golf course which they'd purchased for their retirement. There was a place nearby where they could eat prime rib and dance on Saturday nights with other seniors for $15.50 a person, and even a lake where Tucker could sit by the shore and practice his saxophone. But on this spring day in 1999, while his neighbors were on the fairway or tending to their grandchildren, he drove to the Republic Security Bank in Jupiter, about 50 miles from his home. Tucker, who took pride in his appearance, was dressed all in white, white pants with a sharp crease, a white sports shirt, white suede shoes, and a shimmering white ascot. He paused briefly in front of the ATM and pulled the ascot up around his face, bandit style. He then reached into a canvas bag, took out an old U.S. Army Colt 45, and burst into the bank. He went up to the first teller and said, "Put your money on the counter, all of it." He flashed the gun so that everyone could see it. The teller laid several packets of fives and twenties on the counter, and Tucker inspected them for exploding dye packs. Checking his watch, he turned to the next teller and said, "Get over here, you too." Then he gathered up the thick packets, more than $5,000, and hurried to the door. On his way out, he looked back at the two tellers. "Thank you," he said. "Thank you." He drove to a nearby lot where he had left a safe car, a red Grand Am that couldn't be traced to him. After wiping down the stolen hot car with a rag, he threw his belongings inside the Grand Am. They included a .357 Magnum, a sawed-off 30-caliber carbine, two black nylon caps, a holster, a can of mace, a pair of Smith & Wesson handcuffs, two rolls of black electrical tape, a police badge, five AAA batteries, a police scanner, a glass cutter, gloves, and a fishing cap. There was also a small bottle of medicine for his heart. No one seemed to notice him, and he went home, making what appeared to be a clean getaway. After a brief stop to count the money, he got back in the car and headed out again. As he approached the golf course, the bills neatly stacked beside him, he noticed an unmarked car on his tail. He turned onto another street just to make sure. There it was again. Then he spotted a police car pulling out behind him. He hit the gas as hard as he could, trying to outmaneuver them, turning left, then right, right, then left. He went past the North Pompano Baptist Church and the Career Funeral Home, past a row of pink one-story houses with speedboats in the driveways, until he found himself on a dead-end street. As he spun around, he saw that a police car was barricading the road. One of the officers, Captain James Chin, was reaching for his shotgun. There was a small gap between Chin's car and a wooden fence, and Tucker, his body pitched forward in his seat, sped toward it. Chin, who had spent almost 2 decades as a detective, later said he had never seen anything like it. The white-haired figure barreling toward him seemed to be smiling, as if he were enjoying the showdown. Then, as the car skidded over the embankment, Tucker lost control and hit a palm tree. The airbags inflated, pinning him against the seat. The police were stunned when they realized that the man they had apprehended was not only 78 years old, he looked, according to Chin, as if he had just come from an early bird special, but one of the most notorious stick-up men of the 20th century. Over a career that spanned more than 6 decades, he had also become perhaps the greatest escape artist of his generation, a human contortionist who had broken out of nearly every prison he was confined in. One day, in 2002, I went to meet Tucker in Fort Worth, Texas, where he was being held in a prison medical center after pleading guilty to 1 count of robbery and receiving a 13-year sentence. The hospital, an old yellow brick building with a red-tiled roof, was on top of a hill and set back off the main road, surrounded by armed guards and razor wire. I was handed a notice that said no weapons, ammunition, or metal cutting tools were allowed, and then escorted through a series of chambers, each door sealing behind us before the next one opened, until I arrived in an empty waiting room.